Attacks had come in retaliation for the deaths of several American service members over the weekend. Amid the unrest in the Mideast, AAA reports that gas prices have risen to a national average of $4 per gallon. Between the sweltering heat, the smothering humidity, choking wildfire smoke, flooding rains, and deadly tornadoes, this summer has so far brought some wicked weather. Forecasters say that there's no end in sight. Congratulations to World Cup champion Spain. A 1-0 win over defending champion Argentina. World Cup final at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. On Wall Street this morning, stocks are mixed. The Dow is down 137 points, while the Nasdaq is 165 points higher, and the S&P is better by 25 points. More details at srnnews.com.
May I say to you, the answer to worry and fretfulness and anxiousness is to pray and release it to God and allow God to handle that problem and meet the need. And the scripture says, and the peace that surpasses goes beyond human understanding.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, thank you, thank you again for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about an issue that I believe should be the top drawer communication and obligation at this very moment for every Christian in America. I am saying, dogmatically so, that Christians will determine the destiny of America. You say, how will that be so? Simply whether or not we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. We need to be verbal, visible, vocal, especially at the ballot box in November. We've got about, 90 days before an election, and the election will determine whether or not America will be a constitutional republic in the future, or if America will be a socialist, Marxist, communist nation, Islamified by the Islamic jihadist that will rule our nation. This election is that important. This election. And our previous caller, Derby, said, it's not of Christians voting, it's how the votes are counted. He is 1,000% correct. Because we go back to the archives of history and we recognize that the election was, there was an attempt to steal the election in 2016. It just so happened the overwhelming number of votes happened to outweigh the number of theft votes or lying votes or dead people voting in 2016. It was the 45th president Donald Trump went into office. 2016. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, 2020, the Democrats realized that they had failed in the number of votes stolen, and so they went all out and overwhelmed the system with the theft of votes. Multitudes, and you might recall this, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of votes coming in by mail trucks. One, I believe, was up in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, in that area of Northeast America, discovered that a mail truck had several hundred, I believe it was 800, it might have been 8,000, I don't remember, a major number of ballots that had just been delivered that day from across the state line, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole lot of ramification going on. Well, listen, President Trump's been begging for the weak-minded rhinos called Republicans in D.C. to pass the SAVE Act. They have refused to do so. John Thune keeps saying, we don't have enough votes. Listen, these dudes are about to take a 30-day vacation. You hear me? A 30-day vacation. And leave the responsibility alone that they need to be handling in relationship to trying to protect the vote in November. But the SAVE Act would make sure that the people are legal citizens, have a voter's ID, that they are legally here, they're U.S. citizens, and can vote. And that mail-in ballots would not be accepted after the date of the day of the election. Listen. Back years ago, before we had the machines, in the state of Florida, you could vote. The polls would close at 7. By midnight, we knew who had been elected. 6 weeks passed before they talked about the election, who won some of the elections in California recently. And the mindset is that we can keep harvesting ballots and put as many ballots out there as possible. Now listen. What's not been said, what's not been reported on the Socialist Marxist Communist Network news system, listen, is the fact that President Trump just won one of several issues that he's won in the appeals court. Headline, court makes a huge decision in President Trump's battle for election integrity. You didn't hear that. You haven't heard this on the news. U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia has delivered a huge victory for President Donald J. Trump in his battle for election integrity. It has allowed, for now, a plan to move forward that will mean the United States Postal Service will not handle mail-in or absentee ballots for people unless they're in the state with federally approved citizenship list. Trump's order? Ensuring citizenship verification and integrity in federal elections, end quote, instructs federal agencies to develop a state-specific list of voters who are confirmed as U.S. citizens, and it will include instructions for the United States Post Office not to handle mail-in or absentee ballots for individuals unless they are on the list of American citizens or authorized to vote. Meanwhile, Trump has been calling for Congress to adopt the SAVE Act that will demand proof of citizenship for voter registration and photo ID voting. Gateway Pundit said the result of the ruling is that the United States Post Office remains in the place where legal challenges may continue. But ladies and gentlemen, it's my prayer that incrementally, with some of the things that President Trump is doing, will be beneficial to save the election. My opinion, and my opinion's worth about 2 cents, perhaps sometimes. I believe President Trump could call out the Insurrection Act in early November, if he were to do so, could legally have National Guardsmen or some federal agency on guard at every election polling place in America to make sure that ballots are not trucked in 24/7. After the election takes place. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. This is a huge problem. Just about every nation in the world has voter ID, including almost all of Europe. But here's another little insidious thing that Congress is getting ready to do and that they've been doing since Trump has been inaugurated. It's called pro forma session, where they leave a sitting member in the Senate to keep him from doing what you call recess appointments. And I have called in before, and I don't think anything about Thunes. I think he's just another Paul Ryan,
yep.
Mitch McConnell,
yep.
And absolutely is not on the side of the United States government. It's insidious that the United States would allow, and even say that you have to have an ID for everything. You got to have an ID to get on a plane. You got to have an ID to buy beer. You have to have an ID. You even have to have an ID to go in and sit in a congressional hearing. If you win the lottery for that there. A lot of places you have to have an ID just to enter their facility.
You have to have an ID to check out a book at the public library.
Yeah. So, I don't see what the issue is with having an ID to vote. One man, one woman, one vote. Stick your thumb in the purple dye, walk away. You know?
Absolutely. Well, Jim, I've got a question based on what we see taking place, and I'm thankful that Trump has been, how would you say, forceful with the wisdom and the dogma to take a stand without bowing. And as you said, or as the previous caller, one or the other, said that we have legislators that are still, that are supposed to be conservative, still will not articulate the fact that, yes, the election was stolen in 2020. It's an impossibility for Joe Biden to have gotten 81 million votes running a campaign out of his basement, but yet at the same time, that's supposedly what he got. Now, with the documentation that I've read so far, and I've certainly not read all of the material, thousands and thousands and thousands of documents and pages, do you believe that it is authentic to be able to say that the vote was not properly counted, that we had illegals voting, because President Trump's already said that, as it stands at this moment with the voting rolls, that we have hundreds of thousands of dead people still on the rolls in some states, and we have hundreds of thousands of those that are illegal that's already registered to vote, and yet somehow, somewhere, we're to believe that this can be a successful legal vote unless we take some stringent stands to make sure? Do you believe that the 2020 election was stolen? Do you believe that this Trump has the evidence of that now that was supposed to be burned? And in your mind, what caused the software people, Dominion and its hardware, to drop the $1 billion suit against MyPillow guy when in reality they thought they'd win? They won by default with Fox News that wrote a check for $786 million just because Fox News entertained and interviewed people that said the election was stolen. So I know that's a lot of ramification. Bottom line is, where do you stand on that issue?
Oh, I stand that they thoroughly stole that election. A lot of the things that are coming out now were already being reported back then, in particular whenever it came to mail-in boxes, particularly whenever it came to the mule drops, particularly whenever it came to ballots that were printed out that had inconsistencies with the official ballot print. The man got 81 million ballots, but he did not get 81 million votes. He probably only got about 70 million, if that.
If that.
If that. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at historically, if you look at the previous elections there, with one of the most favorite Democrat candidates there, that being Obama, he actually got around that mid-70 million mark. And even in the election that followed, which brought Trump into office there, the number was still the same. Whenever you exceed the amount of ballots that you do registered voters by a percentage, when I lived up in Philly, it was always 110% show out in Montgomery County.
That's right.
How do you get that?
That's right.
You only get that because you're just filling out ballots.
That's what you call new math.
Yeah.
Let me read you part of an article and get your take on it, Jim, and then I'll let you go. Headline says, Ben Sasse dismisses some Christian nationalists as impractical. Former Senator Ben Sasse, Republican of Nebraska, suggested during a recent podcast that some forms of Christian nationalism are politically impractical and built on a faulty eschatology. Goes further. Sasse is the reformed in his theology and has been noted that Christians can be reasonably skeptical of enlightenment and assumptions, but warned against utopian ideas that confuse the kingdom of heaven with temporal political systems. And the total article, bottom line, Jim, Ben Sasse is laughing at Christians, saying that Christians are wanting a utopia here on earth. This is the reason we're voting based on nationalism, and calling Christians that vote and proud of America as Christian nationalists. And by the way, Reformed theology, as you perhaps are familiar with, simply means that Israel does not count anymore. God's done away with Israel. God's turned his back on Israel. And the new Israel now is spiritual Israel is the church. Therefore, all of the promises to Israel are now promises to the church. And so therefore, if we're looking at it at that on that basis, then certainly we cannot expect utopia to come, etc., etc. He's laughing at and mocking at Christians that stand for America, stand for the flag, and stand for the vote. What say you?
I would say that he needs to go back and read his Bible. He's fallen victim to the same thing that has occurred since Paul's time, and that there's people out here that are trying to change the verbiage and meaning of the Bible to suit them and their needs instead of it to be the user's manual for all human beings to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and our God. Simply ignoring the word and twisting the word. And he's a victim of that.
Absolutely. And the Reformed theology, take, for example, in Colossians, Galatians, the fourth chapter, and Galatians, the sixth chapter, and talk about it as being applying to the church, all of the promises of Israel. They're simply, as you said, misinterpreting the scripture. But, Jim, I'm thankful that we can, as Christians, keep looking up, realizing Amen. That our redemption draweth nigh. The rapture of the church is the next thing on the calendar of God. And someday, one day, very, very soon, and perhaps today, Jesus Christ will snatch us out of this old world. So it may even be, and I'm not trying to do a cop-out, may even be we won't have to face the aftermath of whatever the election may be in November, based on what God does with his timing. We don't know the day or the time, but I'm thankful that God's calendar will be carried out as precise as he is sovereign. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you as we keep looking up. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. My statement today, the issue today, Christians will, not perhaps, not maybe, Christians will determine the destiny of America in this upcoming election. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, the UK is in turmoil. They've just elected, and by the way, when I say elected, that's a joke. Listen, do you realize when a new prime minister is put into position, he's called elected? He's not elected by the vote of the people. And this prime minister, I can't even call his name, that was just inaugurated, if you please, this morning. I watched his speech, and he's a socialist, Marxist, communist, if you will. It's bad enough that you see in the UK today where Islam has taken over all of London. Islam is rapidly Islamifying all of the UK. And he is the seventh prime minister in 10 years in the UK. And yet he was talking about what he's going to do as far as providing this, taking control of production, etc. When you hear that statement, taking control of production, that's a Marxist, socialist, communist mindset that simply says, we're going to control what is produced, and we're going to control what they make, we're going to control who gets it, etc., etc. I'm looking at an article that's very, very clear. It says the Democratic Socialist of America just adopted a radical new platform, and it goes into details of their platform and what they've adopted and what they're going to do. And part of that end part is this. The article says that the workers deserve more. They have a revolutionary aspiration. Its aim is to win the battle of democracy, draft a new constitution, create a new democratic socialist republic. The documents make clear of how they intend to achieve this goal. And that part of it says we'll close all overseas bases. We'll have all economic sanctions, include the states like Iran, Cuba, Russia. The platform includes endorsement of amnesty for all illegals, ending restriction on all marriages, etc., etc., etc. They're going to abolish the federal electoral college vote, alongside with establishing public ownership of all large corporations, essentially industries, to ensure domestic democratic control and accountability, and strict regulations on all investment of properties, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, that's no longer socialism. It's no longer Marxism. It is full-fledged communism. I believe Mary's on the line. Mary, go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, I think what our friend Derby was using the quote that Stalin himself said, it's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes.
Yes, exactly.
I think that sums up Mr. Derby's position, and it's so true. But I want to just add one thing briefly. It is such a pleasure, it's so refreshing to listen to your program and hear something other than soccer scores and FIFA. It's a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
Because, frankly, in my heart, I've celebrated the 250th anniversary of our nation. But the truth is, we are living under bread and circuses, which, as you know, was the Roman philosophy. You mm-hmm. gave the people lots of games and some bread or pizza at the Colosseum, and they were happy and distracted.
Absolutely.
And this is what I feel we're living under, bread and circuses, with one fun activity after another, celebrations, games, mm-hmm. and we're not focusing. Our eyes are off.
Well, that's Mary, you're exactly right. That's what brought about, if you study the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire, that's part of what brought about the implosion mm-hmm. of the Roman Empire. The people wanting fewer and fewer work hours, wanting more and more pleasure, seeking more and more entertainment, and more relaxation, and being paid and provided for in the process. And that's what we're witnessing today taking place in America. There's the push in America and also in Europe and other parts of the world, simply wanting more and more with less and less. That's the reason Mondami got the vote that he got, is because he's saying, I'm going to give you free child care, free transportation. I'm going to give you free education, free health care, and even going to provide discounted prices on groceries because the taxpayer is going to pay for it. And as one young airhead has said when asked the question, where does the money come from? And she said, the government. Said, where does the government get the money? From rich people. And that's the mm-hmm. mindset. Someone
well, Dr.
said,
Youngblood, I understand in Manhattan now, if you see a public bus where the sign for the destination is, you will also see where it reads, fares are required.
Mm.
Is that bizarre? Fares
yet
are
he was
required.
Make it free.
for those who are waiting for a free bus ride.
Yeah. For those who are waiting for a free bus ride, might wait for a while.
Fares are required. Thank you. Please keep up the good fight.
Thank you so much, Mary. God bless you as we keep looking
okay.
up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, breaking news. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican of Alabama, is pushing to ban Sharia law nationwide and called out the genocide of Christians by Muslims. This extreme ideology is straight from the pits of hell, and it has no place in American society. And I'm reading verbatim from Tommy Tuberville's statement. And yet I'm looking at another headline that says, Sharia Free America. Why political Islam and Sharia law are incompatible with the U.S. Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand there's a goal that is set before these that are wanting to overthrow the Constitutional Republic. That goal is to Islamify and identify America as a socialist, communist, Marxist nation. That's the goal. And the question that I have for any Christian, every conservative, every patriot that's tuned in today, what will happen to our Bill of Rights if and when this takes place? And I use the if and when very, very, very carefully, because it was George Barner, 2009, I believe the report was, that by 2050 America would be an Islamically controlled nation. Then, if I'm not mistaken, it was just 2 to 3 years, maybe 4 years later, the George Barner report updated that and said by 2040, America will be controlled by Islam, be an Islamic nation. He also said in the report that by 2030, America will be a Hispanic-speaking nation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at this article that says, Sharia Free America, Why Political Islam and Sharia Law Are Incompatible. Let me just read you a brief blurb of this. Sharia Free America, Why Political Islam and Sharia Law Are Incompatible with the U.S. Constitution. We'll discuss efforts on establishing that alternative. Sharia law based on legal and civic institutions, how these alternative institutions are contrary to America Foundation principles, and how they violate federal law and our Constitution. Another headline, ladies and gentlemen, says Islamification becomes public enemy number one. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that we have some men in the Florida, not just Florida, but in the U.S. House of Representatives, one of the members from the state of Florida, that's joined arms. And as of the latest news yesterday online, we have 60 House of Representative members and some 29 states represented in the group that's been put together to try to prevent Islam Sharia law in America. Now, I'm thankful in the state of Florida, our governor, Ron DeSantis, has already publicly declared that CARE, Council on American-Islamic Relations, and the group called the Muslim Brotherhood have all, both of them, been considered terrorist organizations, and they've been banned from anything to do with the political arena in the state of Florida. I wish that were the case across America with other states. But right now, at this very moment, Islamification becomes the number one enemy. Representative Randy Fine, Republican from Florida, told the Daily Signal that a recent campaign poll has found that many of his constituents view the rise of Islamification and Islamic rule as the top concerns. Ladies and gentlemen, let me pause there. We've got several candidates running for the governor's office for the state of Florida that I believe we need to entertain and understand where each of them stands. Some of the questions that need, listen, if you have an opportunity to interface with any of these candidates, I think there's either four or five candidates running for governor in the state of Florida. And in our state, in the state of Florida, we need to recognize what Governor DeSantis has done to protect us from the Islamification of the state of Florida. We need to recognize what he's done to protect us in that area. And as a result of it, I believe, listen, let me give you a little thumbnail advice here. I believe that if you're vetting a candidate running for governor in the state of Florida, one of the first questions you need to ask him, what will you do about the move by the Muslims in Florida to control some of the places of leadership through voting, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, it's my most humble opinion, the best thing that we could do in America is to say that you come, if you come from an Islamic background, if you are Islamic, if you believe that Islam should be part and parcel of the national scene in the election process, then you cannot qualify to run for office. The problem that we see with that is that we've allowed this to come so long, I believe it's going to be an impossibility, if not impossible, not probable, but improbable, to have that done. I've got an article that is the manuscript, it is the writing in written form of a recent plea from Geert Wilders, which is a parliamentarian in the Netherlands. He said, Islamic jihadists are plotting against you here and all over America. They're not coming, they're already here. They have unpacked their bags, set up their cells, and are walking your streets. Islamic radicals have declared war on you and America. And listen to what they're saying. I could give 100 different examples. I've chosen just a few. Like one of the imams, he's a Pakistani born in California, recently speaking in Texas, and said, the future's ours. America will be a Muslim country. Islam will enter every house. We are unapologetic. We are uncompromising. We will control America. And I could go on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian vote will determine the destiny of America. Will we remain a constitutional republic? Will we remain free with religious liberties and freedom of speech? The decision is yours. We need to vet the candidates. We need to pray. Seek God's face. Ask God to heal our land. Thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth